When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast. All right,
confirmed, Derek Stingley's agent is David Mulligetta.
He switched in August, yeah. And it was one of those things that, you know, every time somebody gets, it's kind of like in baseball when somebody gets Scott Boras, there a lot of people's sphincters tighten up. Yeah, I always point out, if you're worried about the ability of David Mulligetta player to sign an extension with the Texans, look no further than one Deshaun Watson.
Indeed.
Who did indeed sign an extension several months before he agitated his way out of Houston.
With a much more ratchet version of the Texans than this one is.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Like, so
this is actually a high-functioning organization with a good head coach, good GM.
Yeah.
Ownership has you know, gotten everything together with this team.
Yeah, as long as Derek Stingley stays healthy through the playoffs, I would imagine he gets a new contract sometime this offseason.
Yeah, he's eligible for it. You don't see that a lot with non-quarterbacks getting it after 3 years.
But boy,
Nico did, yeah.
But now Nico's is a deal. Like, Nico's, yeah. That was a classic. That was kind of like a Yordan Alvarez-type extension where, all right, yeah, it's not what you're going to make in free agency likely, but let's hedge our... You know, with Yordan, you've got the injury concerns, yeah. So you maybe want to... You don't want to have to end up trying to give him a crazy contract, but so it worked for both sides with Yordan, because Yordan knew that he had injury concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Nico, similarly, he had injuries and bad quarterback play early in his career.
Yeah.
They paid him ahead of schedule, but it's a very reasonable contract.
When his agent is Drew Rosenhaus.
Yeah.
It's probably an even better comp to Scott Boras, just given both of their longevity.
Except that Rosenhaus is kind of, I don't want to say, I think he has a really good working relationship with a lot of teams now.
Like, yeah, he's not the big character that he used to be.
He's not like something out of Jerry Maguire, you know.
And yet, back in the day, he said that movie was patterned after him.
Yeah, I think like 20 different agents said that.
Lee Steinberg said it too, yeah. Let's get to Dana Brown. Dana Brown, Astros GM, did a Zoom call on Friday after the Astros agreed to trade Kyle Tucker to the Cubs. They trade him to the Cubs for first baseman / third baseman, all-star, Isaac Paredes. Is it Hunter Wisniewski is the name of the pitcher? I'm going to butcher that until I don't butcher it. And then the big one here, like the big... like fork in the road with this trade, you know, the swing player, if you will. If Cam Smith turns into something, then this becomes a really good trade for the Astros. He's the Cubs' first round pick, who I believe plays third base. And here's Dana Brown on what he likes about Cam Smith.
I was very fortunate to see him this spring, actually, when I was out on my scouting trail when we were trying to find our first round pick. So very familiar with him. He's currently playing third base. He's got a chance to play third, first, or right. We're probably going to play him in all three of those positions. And if his bat comes really quickly, we'll move him quickly. And, you know, whichever position he's playing the best, we'll probably put him in that position as he moves up. He's, you know, his last position was he played some third base at Double A. And so he had a pretty good pro debut, as you probably can see the stats. He was really, you know, highly touted in college. He went in the first round, and it's a really good first round college bat with power, with a chance to hit. And he's pretty athletic as well. So we're really excited about Cam Smith.
You know what? I think the Cubs weren't mentioned early on with a lot of the Kyle Tucker stuff and everything. And then I first saw from the Cubs athletic writer was mentioning the Kyle Tucker trade. And I don't think people were really taking it seriously at first. But one of the things that people out of Chicago had said initially was that the organization, it seems, unwilling to deal Cam Smith. So once I found out Cam Smith was involved, I got excited about it, or I got more accepting of the deal. But if you want to think about where the Astros are as an organization right now, if Cam Smith had played for the Astros last year, you think like, oh, Cubs, what? Better chance that he would have had his major league debut last year with the Astros than with the Cubs. So that's where the Astros are. Last year, they're bringing all kinds of Double A and guys up, or Triple A guys that you didn't think were going to be in the majors. It was just that kind of a year. But that's where we are with the pipeline. It's that, he might have, as opposed to the glory days when you would wring your hands over, like, what are we going to do with all these guys that are languishing in the minors who are ready for action? What do we do? Now it's the opposite problem. They've got, they need these prospects.
Oh, he's immediately their best prospect. Yeah. Here's Dana Brown. And when you heard him say Cam Smith could be third base, first base, or right field, here's Dana Brown laying out what the depth chart looks like in the outfield right now for the Astros.
McCormick's probably going to start off in right. We have Myers in center. We have an opening in left. You know, whether that's going to be, you know, Dubon playing some games there versus a lefty. You know, it could be Trammell playing some games there versus a righty. You know, we do, you know, have an opening in left that we would say we could platoon, or if we get an opportunity to fill that spot, we will do it.
Now hiring.
It says
now hiring. You know, we have an opening in left field.
I feel like they feel exactly the way I did yesterday. I stumbled into the YouTube. I clicked on the wrong tab and it went to YouTube careers yesterday.
Okay.
So I started exploring, like, hey, would I actually be qualified to work for YouTube and or Google? And Sean, I searched all over the world, literally. I was like, oh, maybe there's something in Indonesia that's nope. Not qualified for any of them.
None of them, huh?
And I feel like that's what the Astros are right now. They might as well be clicking on a tab, like job openings.
Yeah.
Left field. Like, okay, I don't know, maybe Yordan can be an everyday left fielder. I don't know. It's like, nope, not qualified.
Do you need a left fielder? Indeed you do. Indeed.com for your left fielder. That's a horrible soundbite right there if you're an Astro fan. That's scary because Chaz McCormick is over a year removed from being a capable full-time outfielder. I've never been a Jake Myers fan. I know he's a finalist for the Gold Glove this year. I get that. He's a horrible hitter, and I don't know that I think we've crossed the threshold where he's going to become
this organization,
even just an average hitter. And then left field, like you just said, we have an opening in left field right
now. There's a double-edged sword that comes with being a team that's really good at developing talent. It's that if these guys have been in your organization this long and you're not seeing the best version of this player, then that's probably it for
him. Probably not good. Yeah, probably not good. Framber Valdez, questions surrounding now that they've traded Tucker, I know there's a lot of Astro fans like, Bregman's not coming back, you traded Tucker, just go all the way, trade Framber. Here was Dana Framber, who, by the way, for those who don't know, he is in the same situation that Kyle Tucker is in. Last year of team control, probably going to make about $15 million thereabouts, and then presumably hit the open market and make a whole boatload of money if he has a good 2025. Dana Brown says, we are not shopping Framber Valdez.
With Valdez, you know, we are not aggressively trying to trade him. I know he's the top part of our rotation with him and Brown, you know, one and two. And so, you know, we're not aggressively trying to move him, but we'll listen. But, you know, if you ask me if you think we're going to trade Valdez, I don't think we're trading Valdez. I think he's part of our pillar, and it's really tough to keep a rotation intact. And we really feel like he's going to be an important one in our rotation.
Yeah. You almost, if you are, it sounds weird to say because Tucker is one of the best outfielders in baseball, but given the amount of injuries they had in the pitching staff last year, like if you're not just paying lip service to being competitive in 2025, you've got to keep Framber Valdez.
Honestly, if you want to keep the window open while you're also managing a rebuild, I think it makes sense to just say, all right, yes, but with pitching, you know, maybe we're going to have to say goodbye to Framber in free agency, whatever, but like we can, that's our avenue with guys coming back from the IL and everything else. We need to be deep. We need to be good at pitching. And then we'll figure out everything else with the other eight guys.
Framber is also a guy, Seth, who if the season is not going as the Astros are planning for it to go, is a guy who at the trade deadline, teams will unload on the Astros to get.
Yeah,
a Framber Valdez.
Yeah.
Pitching is when you're. It's easier being a seller at the trade deadline with starting pitching than it is a corner outfielder.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, because you just slide the guy into your rotation. You need five of them. You know, four or five of them. So you just slide the guy into your rotation. So I think that has something to do with it too. Like,
What if he had just come out and said, like, we're gonna see what we can hodgepodge together in the outfield, and then we'll see where we are at the trade deadline, and then that's when maybe we'll get rid of Framber if the pitchers are all healthy. And, okay, we're just hovering along, then, okay, that's when we'll trade Framber.
Maybe. I mean, that could be what happens.
I mean, that's one of the options.
It could be what happens, yeah. I mean, if Framber's having a good year, there'll be a massive market for him at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Let's hope it's not the case. Let's hope they're competitive and they keep Framber, and then they get back to at least the ALCS again. Last one from Dana Brown, no extension talks with Framber Valdez for a while.
Framber's one of those guys that, you know, he's going to go out and compete. He knows that you know, there's a chance for him to get a multi-year deal. And so, you know, we feel like that, you know, we'll evaluate him as we go through this season. And we'll circle back, you know, at some point during the season to give our assessment of, you know, where we think he's going to be here long term or not. But make no mistake, we really like him pitching at the top of our rotation. He's been very good here. And so we're looking forward to having some type of talks with him at some point during the season.
Okay. I mean, I feel just as strongly based on that answer and the lack of activity between the two sides.
Yeah.
However strongly I've felt that Bregman is gone, whatever strong feelings by the team and I think probably fans that Kyle Tucker was not staying long term, Framber's in that same neighborhood.
Yeah. You know, one of our listeners asked me a question last week about just why can't they just be a team like the Yankees and pay and spend as much as they do, because I think people have a notion that somehow Jim Crane is cheap. They were the third highest payroll in baseball last year. The difference is the Yankees make 50% more revenue in a year
on local TV
than the Astros do. No, the combined ticket revenue and TV and everything else.
No, I'm saying the local TV is the big
right. And well, but their tickets are more expensive too.
Sure.
And they like the sum total of the revenue they make 50% more.
Yeah.
So you're talking about, okay, if somebody makes $100,000, you're talking about somebody else that makes $150,000.
Like,
they make a lot more money.
Yeah.
And they can just blow past the luxury tax like it's no big deal.
Yep.
There's very, very few teams in the league that can operate that way.
No, Jim Crane spends at a level that I think Astro fans should be happy about over the last several years. He's minimum like top five or six.
It's
every
not
year.
I don't get the no. I understand where people would want him to be more aggressive into the CBT or something, but like the notion that he's somehow cheap or something, it's just not. That's not what the record of spending
is. That's not true. I mean, I suppose cheap can be an opinion. Like, if you think he should be spending top one, then I guess you think he's cheap. But by the definition of cheap,
if I were to call Jim Crane cheap, I would feel like some horrible wife who, like, is constantly browbeating her husband about not spending more money when he doesn't have it to spend.
Well,
you know, like, why can't you spend like Sean does?
While living in a really nice neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, like, spend more. We've got four cars already. What are you talking about, spend more? The Framber thing will get interesting here over the next few months. We'll see what happens with that. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, speaking of the Astros, Seth had an observation earlier in the show, and I think it's a good one, about the Texans. One area where the Texans are on the Astros' level, like golden era Astros level right now, and we'll talk about that coming up.